Welcome to Roots for Growth podcast, where we aim to spark your curiosity, share learning and inspiration, and connect with what's important in your life. And the themes we tend to talk about are around growing through change, resilience, and mindful living. And we talk about really whatever comes up as well. And I'm delighted this morning to be joined by Vicky Hope and Lindsay Porter, who are both wellbeing practitioners themselves. And I'll just give you a little bit of an introduction. So good morning, ladies, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, morning. Hi.
Okay, so Vicky is the founder of The We Retreat. She's a meditation practitioner, mother of two, and educational psychologist. And she's on a mission to help create a culture where everyone looks after their well-being. And my goodness, don't we need that at the moment? And Lindsay Porter is the Nurture and Grow Programme Manager, supporting the Wellbeing Practitioner Service. And she is also an author and yoga teacher. Lindsay is also passionate about the benefits of yoga for all minds and bodies. And maybe a place for us to start is to talk about Nurture and Grow, which is a relatively recent membership that you started. I've come to know it recently, but I'm sure there was quite a bit of work and planning in the lead up to that. So maybe Vicky, first of all, if you could say a little bit about that and how that's all come about.
Yeah, absolutely, Anna. Thank you for having us on today. The Nurture and Grow service was really a response to how we could see practitioners were coping and living through the pandemic. And as a wellbeing centre in Glasgow, we have a lot of touch points with quite a lot of practitioners. And we realised that there was no kind of real support network for them. There was kind of individual wee pockets of things happening, but nothing to kind of really have an open space for practitioners to come together, to support each other, to learn from each other, to say, this is really awful, or this is really, you know, not sustainable, or however they were feeling. And we were lucky enough to get some funding from the Scottish Government to do some research, do some focus groups with some practitioners to find out what they would like, how they would like to be supported. And then, yeah, it's just taken off from there.
Yeah. And how fantastic to have the opportunity to ask and do that research first. And what kind of things did they tell you, Vicky, that they were looking for?
The thing that came out most from the research that we did was how valuable everybody felt by simply just coming together and having a dedicated time to chat to other people going through similar things. Mm-hmm. That was what people wanted the most. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't a big fancy thing that needed lots of kind of fancy things to make it happen. It was just somebody to hold a regular safe space for people to come together that were going through similar things, that had similar kind of philosophies in life, and mm-hmm. chat. So that was the main thing that came out of the research that we did.
Mm-hmm. And now that membership and those opportunities are up and running, is there anything particularly you're noticing coming through in the conversations?
I think Lindsay is probably best placed to answer that one, Anna, because it's Lindsay's job, which she's doing marvellously, of holding these connect calls, we call them. Uh-huh. And they're based on that one idea of just having a safe space for people to come together regularly. So Lindsay hosts those. Mm-hmm. So I'll let her answer that one.
Okay.
Sure. So I think we're in about our fifth month now of running the service. So it's really lovely actually to see how it's starting to evolve and grow, and people are sort of feeding off each other in a really positive sense. And I think when people come on these calls and start to establish a bit of that safe space, what I see is actually people quite surprised by themselves that how they're feeling and what they come out with. And when we're in a session, I think what we're sharing is really authentic stuff that maybe actually is going a bit beneath the surface. So mm-hmm. maybe stuff that's been bubbling away that we've not really sort of pulled that out so much. So it's just amazing to see. And then, you know, there's times when people are coming with their, you know, maybe slight angst or uncertainty, or they're facing a big decision in the wellbeing industry and things are changing. There's different funding available. And it's really good because I think there's no sort of pretending or covering it up. It's just like people show up and be who they are and offer support and listen. So I'd say, yeah, the feedback we're getting and what we experience on the calls is everything that Vicky sort of saw that there was a need for and that the service set out to do. So I just see it as a real joy to be helping facilitate that and helping it be the best it can be as people come on board. And I suppose really they're seeking for what they need, and hopefully we're sort of this vessel to allow that to happen within the safe space that Vicky said.
Yeah. And listening to you both talking about that, it strikes me that when wellbeing practitioners, and I know there's a range of practitioners in the people you support, from coaches to holistic therapists and creatives and so on, how important it is when we're all there to support clients, and not just clients, but followers, anybody who reads Facebook pages, all those kind of things, how important it is to have that balance of putting out the positive, reassuring messages and actually tending to our own needs. And for me, and from hearing you talk about it, that's all of us who do that kind of work. If we don't, in my opinion, it could be a blind spot. It could be something that ends up being detrimental to our practice. And if we're encouraging it in other people, it's important that we follow that ourselves and give ourselves that space for whatever comes up. And having experienced one of those calls recently, it really is that, isn't it? It's about things that come out on the call and what people talk about. And I'm wondering for you, Lindsay, what do you notice about the types of things that people are noticing or perhaps could do with support on in your group?
Yeah, I think as often in life, it's those simple things. And one of the books I've been reading recently is Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've seen that book, but it's like a small 1% difference or doing something in your life adds up to a lot over lifetime. And I think you can apply that to what we're doing, because like Vicky was saying, like coming together and meeting, and we do it like fortnightly and lots of other sessions as well. It doesn't have to be a lot, but little by little, when people are coming, they're maybe saying, oh, I wasn't feeling very confident about doing that. And then maybe two or three sessions later, you can just see that people are starting to feel nurtured, A, just by showing up and being there, but then B, like hearing other people's stories and seeing what other people have gone through or are grappling with. And I think it's that, maybe it's that sense of empowerment that comes through in a group, that I think as wellbeing practitioners, often we find we're slightly, can be alone in what we're doing, but it's that actually there's quite a few of us. And I think one of the things that I've been a little bit more surprised is because of the range of modalities we have, it's like whether you're a counselor or a nutritionist or an energy worker, a healer, meditation, yoga, there's so many similarities. And yeah, that sort of empowerment I think comes up a lot. And then in terms of like issues, people are really bringing the small stuff, I suppose. It's the daily stuff that is always there, but maybe we get so caught up in our head. So it's sort of drawing that out of people, maybe to give them a bit more space and clarity to really keep doing what they're passionate about doing, helping others.
Yeah. And by nature, these things are often developmental as well, aren't they? Like I know, having listened to someone on the call I was on, there was a lady talking about work with quantum energy, and I took a wee note to go and look into that. And so, and consistently, I find that in that sort of space, we kind of are energized by each other's interests in things, and maybe a little spark that might even lead on to another modality that people learn and that kind of thing, and bringing it back to nurture and grow, actually. And I'll put this to Vicky this time. Can you tell us about the sort of nurture and grow aspects of that? Because I know it's about developing people's practice as well, or whichever one.
Yeah, the whole. I'll start, and Lindsay can finish if there's anything more to add. The whole idea of nurture and grow is to support wellbeing practitioners, because like we've said, they're the ones that are giving all the time. And if we don't have that support ourselves, then we're going to burn out. We're going to not be giving our fullest, not be giving our best to our clients. It's just the nature of things. And so it's a way for practitioners to feel nurtured, but also, as Lindsay says, we often find ourselves working alone as wellbeing practitioners. And we don't have colleagues, we don't have a line manager to, you know, sound ideas out and get feedback. So the grow aspect is really a chance for practitioners to think about where they want to go with this. Quite often people have left careers to develop their own wellbeing business. And then what? Where's the support? Where's that network? It just vanishes. So we're not aiming to kind of handhold people and through a process that we've come up with, because everybody's different, everybody's journey is going to be different. So it's more about a general, this is what it means to be a wellbeing practitioner. How can we support you? These are the kind of things that we think that are important for you to consider, to think about. And yeah, we'll be there to support you along your journey.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. And Lindsay, what anything you would like to add to that?
I wonder if it might be useful just to give a flavour, you know, like what sort of things are we doing then? You know, what have we come up with? And I guess some of the sessions that we've presented and people are able, the members can see at any time on recordings, but we've like tackled really, and really we've gone out and for some of our sessions, which we call mastermind sessions, we look for the people that have spent many years, maybe even a lifetime, digging into these areas so that we can like glean from them the tidbits, the good stuff. So things like diversity and inclusion, very current. We all need to be aware of it. We've all got that that desire to you know, to be just and things. That's been really useful. We've had a talk on compassion by a Buddhist nun, which is really insightful and interesting and useful. We've had a great session on social media, so getting into the more nuts and bolts, the practical side of running mm-hmm. wellbeing in an industry and in the big facet of social media. We've looked at more developmental things like imposter syndrome. We also had a great session with an accountant and a financial advisor looking at mindful money. So we're really trying to cover the spectrum of things, of topics that might interest people, whether it's now or at some point they're like, oh, I really should maybe pick that up this year and think about that. And then we also have regular coaching sessions, which are like active learning, encouragement, where we share things with each other from a professional coach who's absolutely delightful. So, yeah, a real kind of, we're trying to, I suppose, give a little bit of everything. Like Vicky said, we're not handholding, but at the same time, helping open our awareness so that we can dip into things a bit more if we suddenly realise that's maybe what we need a bit more of.
Yeah, yeah. And something that often comes up on and listening to you has prompted this thought, when I'm chatting to people here, it can be useful, I think, for listeners to hear about how you each came into this, the kind of work you're doing now, because this is a project and a significant one, an established membership and so on that you have. And also, and especially because it came up in a couple of talks I've listened to this week, how each of us brings our professional journey that we've been on before we've come into this kind of work, and really kind of what led you to doing what you're doing today. So Vicky, I'm wondering if there's anything you would like to share on that. How did you come to be here now doing what you're doing?
Having two young kids that were driving me crazy. That's what I started it all. I signed up for an 8-week beginner's mindfulness course when I was living down south, and it was really an excuse to get out of my house for 2 hours a week. And here we are 10 years later, established mindfulness practice, and this is where it's led. That's literally summing it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And isn't it fascinating how it can often be one single opportunity that doesn't necessarily have a destination? It's something that you go to for an experience or a reason, or maybe sometimes even a friend suggests it, those kind of things. And then a path can open up.
And yeah, absolutely.
You're a mindfulness teacher, aren't you, Vicky? That's, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't, yeah, it was never part of a plan to set out to, you know, train in mindfulness or anything at all. It's literally, I think that's what sometimes when we're too busy in the planning and the doing, we kind of lose these kind of opportunities of just life just happening and presenting things to us. It was just definitely one of those not planned.
Yeah, and that's a sign of living mindfully, isn't it? That noticing the effects of something like that and following what comes next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, And thank you for that, Vicky. And Lindsay, how about you?
Well, I have to say, when I saw what Vicky was like doing and proposing to bring out for wellbeing practitioners, I just sort of had this like, yes, you know, and this thought of if I can do whatever I can do to support it, to help nurture it, to see it be the best thing it can be, I'm there, I'm on board. So, and, you know, very nicely, Vicky brought me on board to be a bit more involved and help manage it in. And I suppose that for me, it was easy to bring in other life skills that I have. So before I refocus my life to focus on my passion for yoga and well-being, I was project managing for banks around the world, huge massive projects, but that project management skill set is just something I guess I've acquired, and it's always useful to pull it out of the bag and apply it to other things I'm looking to do now. And my change from banking into yoga and the things I do now really was born out of a sudden realization in my early 40s, sort of thinking, am I doing what I really want to be doing? And back to the good old values, am I really living the values and the people I'm surrounding myself with and the stress I'm putting myself under? Is this really how I want to be? You know, I didn't see my kids much. I was always catching a flight somewhere. So yeah, that really prompted me to take a good look, and it was a very painful look. And as it can be with many people, it turned into sort of a mental and physical almost meltdown, really, to make me face into that and go, come on, Lindsay, what are you going to do about it? And I did take counselling and, you know, all those good things at the time. And it was like, actually, as much as I felt the need to get back on the wagon, it was like, this is, and, you know, go back into the whole stressful corporate environment, it was also an opportunity. And I saw that, you know, I can change my life. I can see if I can manage on a lower salary and all those other things that come with it. But for the sake of a much improved mental health. And every day is a new day, and I haven't looked back since I stepped into that decision. And of course, life still brings its ups and downs, but boy, being in a space that where you really want to do the things that you're working on, it's such a great privilege, really.
What a gracious way to put it. And to my mind, these things take courage as well, to make a change like that, or to venture on a new project, which you put a lot of yourself into these kind of things. And hearing you talk about values and such a purpose to it, to you know, thinking about the work that you do in Nurture and Grow as well, there's a ripple effect to that kind of work, isn't it? And the fact that you're supporting practitioners that do that, the multiple reaches of that work is significant too, as it is for any of the classes that either of you will run.
And you'll know this too, but how the ripple effect goes both ways, you know, just the amount of nurturing we've have in return. I mean, it just sort of amplifies it all and helps keep everything going.
It does. And that from the community of support for each other, both informally in meeting practitioners and people that do this kind of work, as well as the structured activities as well. Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about the times that we're living in just now, I'm curious to know for each of you, what's your personal approach to sustaining yourself? How do you look after your well-being in these times? Vicky, let's go to you first.
It's a really good question. I realised quite early on in the pandemic that I was going to need to do more for myself to be able to sustain. I'm a single mum, I have my own business, you know, to be able to sustain this in the sort of drastic conditions that we found ourselves, you know, changed into all of a sudden. So literally doubled my self-care, literally doubled how much I was meditating a day, how much I was spending outside in nature, going for walks, good food, all those kind of things. Just literally took the decision there and then to up it, basically, because no matter, even in regular life before the pandemic, no matter how much we think we're looking after ourselves, it's never going to be enough. It's never near enough as what we probably need. So that was my go-to, and actually I've still maintained that level now that we're sort of, I don't know whether I would tempt fate to say we're coming out the other end, but, you know, certainly things are different to how they were a while ago. So yeah, definitely for me, my advice to anybody would be just to increase, double if you can, what you're doing to look after yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a really proactive approach, and also doing what works for for you individually, and knowing that when things become more challenging, more kind of sustenance, restoring ourselves is helpful, isn't it?
I'd like to take the credit for it, but there's an old Zen proverb that just stuck with me when I did my first 8-week mindfulness course. My teacher said it in one of the sessions, and it just stuck with me. And it's, you know, if you think that you don't have time to meditate for an hour a day, you should meditate for two, because it's just the mind telling you that you don't have time to do these things. So that's what stuck with me. So I can't take any credit for it.
Definitely credit for putting it into action, though. Thank you, Vicky. And Lindsay, what are your thoughts on well-being for ourselves and for yourself?
Yeah, one thing that's quite important to me, and I always put forward to myself, is to see myself as this eternal learner, and, you know, to always be seeking other things. And Jojo also said last night in her talk about taking moments to be the big kid, you know, and I sort of interpret that by taking things by surprise. So, you know, in lockdown, deciding to also try out, like many did, open wild water swimming, and, you know, like immerse yourself in cold water and things like that. And I love that. And keep learning, I suppose, and bring compassion with that. And one of the practices I've recently taken up quite regularly is starting my day with like a 10-minute yoga nidra, and it just really works for me, especially at this time of year when sluggish, it's hard to get up, I just want to keep under the duvet. But if I know when I get up I'm going to go and enjoy 10 minutes of being cozy again and relaxed, that's all I need. I can then get out of bed and then enjoy that 10 minutes, and it, life is always better the other side of that. So I think it is about keeping open, I suppose, is the bottom line behind that. Looking around for what things. So whether you're an experienced practitioner in something, there might still be a new aspect of that you can learn. So that's what sort of, I think, keeps me fresh and alert. But I have to say, like anyone, I'm definitely not perfect. There's things I could probably work on more, like my eating habits. it's just sort of giving yourself enough goals to focus on, and also giving yourself a bit of leeway, keeping things realistic and kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And otherwise it can become a punishing thing that you're trying to comply with, and there's a sort of resistance to that potentially, isn't there? Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. And I must admit, this year, if there's one thing that I've felt tempted by, maybe not yet because it's winter getting started, but I do fancy trying some cold water swimming. Especially now we have more freedom to move around, and plenty of places in Scotland we can do that, aren't there?
There are. Yeah. They're all cold though.
Yeah, that's true. And now I've said it out loud, I'm going to have to do it, aren't I? And you know, we were talking just before we came on about where we are now, and the fact that we've all been living through a pandemic in our own unique ways, and that there have been a variety of experiences with that, and you know, highlights and challenges as well. And in a way, one of my reflections for New Year is that this is year three, and there's something about the power of three, I think, to go, okay, we don't necessarily have to go through the same year again. Like on social media, there's a lot of posts about, oh, here we go again. And actually, with consciousness and intention, we can bring about a different experience. So for the year ahead, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the year, but it's naturally a time of year for reflection for a lot of people. And I'm wondering what each of your thoughts are on what's important this year. What advice would you give people that they could be focusing on, especially that there are signs of coming out the other side of this, or at least, you know, things becoming more perhaps manageable and sustainable. So I'm wondering, and either one of you could go first, depending on what comes to mind, what are your thoughts for the year ahead?
I'll respond first, if that's all right. So this is a little bit biased, but I am a reader, as you might have gathered already. And another book I read recently was The Dark Night of the Soul, which is a yoga book, but you can definitely expand it out into all sort of aspects of life. And it has a really interesting take that it says, as a society at the moment, we're all going through a dark night of the soul, which is really like this sort of inward reflection. And it's a little bit of a struggle. And it's like, I could relate to that, you know, individually, collectively. So I think what I find quite useful in those moments, and to change things and come out of things, is to support that through reading. findings from different books, maybe picking up a book you wouldn't ordinarily read. Sometimes I go to a library and pick a book at random. So yeah, my short thing would be go and read something, see if that makes a difference. And if you're not a reader, maybe you could pick up an audio or a podcast instead.
Yeah.
Maybe this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Lindsay. And Vicky, what are your thoughts?
I just love that, Lindsay. It's just like the forever learner coming out in you. for me, it's really simple. It's just to stay present. That's it. That's all we need to do every day. And then we don't have that whole mind race, worry cycle of what if it is another year of the same, or what if something else happens? If we're just staying present, then we don't, there's no place for any of that. Oh, today it's a bit gray in the sky. All right, I'll wear my jacket when I go for a walk. That's all it's about. There's nothing more, you know? So yes, we've got a wee blackboard outside the studios at the wee retreat, and before the pandemic it was just all about like the timetable and the classes and the opening hours and things, and I just changed it at some point during the pandemic because we were obviously closed for a while, and it just says stay present. That's it. That's all we need, just to remind ourselves that we'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Wise words. Thank you. And you talked about the wee retreat there, and I gather you will have had an opportunity to, in the last few months, bring people back in again. And I'm sure that will happen again soon. I'm wondering, Vicky, what are your plans for the wee retreat in the next few months?
No plans for the studios in particular, apart from to hopefully stay open for as much of it as we can, and to have regular classes. People are really enjoying being back in the studio. Mm. I think we've kind of got a bit of a transition going on of people starting to feel that they want to come back out into studios. Some people were there straight away the first day we could reopen, they were like there, you know, at the door ready to come in, and other people are just taking a little bit longer to think if that's something they want to do or not. But no major plans for the studios apart from to really just be there to provide a space for the amazing classes and wee retreats that happen there.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And over the last while, I think there has been a greater tendency for people to reach out to be involved in things which help them to feel present and mindful and connected. So just, you know, to say appreciating what both of you do in your work as practitioners, and also for the membership. And I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to share with people who are listening. Either sort of closing thoughts or anything else you wanted to share about the work that you do. Lindsay, maybe go to you for this one.
Yeah, this doesn't come from me. This comes from Jojo last night, but another one that sort of really resonated for me. She said, do things that feel like a warm hug for you.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Lovely. And Vicky, for you, anything you want to share?
I think for me, it would be to find, if you don't have something already, then to find something that works for you that helps you quiet in the mind.
Absolutely. And knowing that our minds naturally will wander, the kind of default mode is to wander. It's easier than we think to bring it back, isn't it? By mindfulness practice and sustained meditation practice, that can really help, can't it?
Absolutely.
Works, as you see.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge advocate of meditation, and that's what I practice, and that's what I teach. Excuse me. But there are plenty of modalities that have the basic principle of quietening the mind. And I think once we've found something, and that can change over time, but once we've found something that works for us to help us do that, double it. practice it every day.
I love the simplicity of that, to double it, as you were saying earlier on as well. So
like jumping in cold water, Anna.
What's that, sorry?
Like jumping in cold water.
Well, maybe not double that at first. I have heard, and this is one of the things that's more likely to lead to me doing it, is a very short immersion at first. So
it's usually short.
You can tell I'm trying to persuade myself. So listen, thank you both for your time this morning. I'll make sure there are links and things. I know there's more than one link that people might like to find to reach you if they would like to follow up in any way. So I'll make sure that's on the post that goes out with this recording. So thank you for taking the time this morning, and all the best in the next few months with what you're doing. For anybody else who's listening at the time of recording, I've got a couple of workshops coming up later on this week, which I'll also share with the details when this is posted. And for now, I wish all of you well, and thank you for listening to Roots for Growth podcast. And my name is Annabelle, and my business is Annabelle Coaching, if anybody would like to take a look there too. So thanks again. Bye for now.
Thanks, Anna. Thanks,
everyone. Thank you. Thank you.